The Stanley Cup playoffs. I admit that I am a true Canadian sports fan, and I never tire of watching the skilled players of the NHL compete for what I think is the most beautiful trophy in all of sport. Like, what is it with that football that they give out at the NFL Super Bowl, or even that pennant with all those little flags on it that they get if you win the baseball championship? There's nothing like the Stanley Cup. And what makes, I think, the game so exciting is you've got those 16 teams in the first rounds of the playoff, and they have to be sure that they can play in the three zones, that they've got to be able to have the specialty teams, they've got to be able to have someone who can stop that puck. And that team that at the end of the four rounds that has won 16 games is going to hoist that 30-plus pound trophy when the final buzzer sounds. Well, maybe like me, you were thinking, oh, this is our year when the flaming sea might be in a victory parade. And as people say to me that don't like the Flames, those guys are the lames, as they're sometimes known. So that victory parade through downtown is not going to happen because that skilled number 97 from that other Albertan city sent the home team to clean out their lockers in that elimination on Thursday night. Well, why am I talking about the playoffs? Because I want to suggest to you this evening that the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is to our Catholic faith what the NHL playoffs are to hockey. Because of the ascension of Jesus into heaven, we have clarified our common goal. And because of his ascension, we know more clearly our common purpose. We know our common goal and our common purpose. And isn't that what great teams do? Like, what is it those guys from Florida, Tampa? They have an understanding of that common goal and that they have a common purpose that allows them to work together to here to be for the third time in a year in the Eastern Finals. So I want to think now a little bit more about our common goal, and then we'll talk about our common purpose. And here's the beautiful thing about our faith, that Jesus so humbled himself to take on our humanity that we will share in the fullness of his divinity. At every Mass, you'll notice there's a point where the priest mingles water into the wine, and he prays what's called a silent prayer, so you don't hear him say it. But these are the words that the priest is saying when he's pouring that little bit of water into the wine. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ who humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's it. We get to share in the divinity of Jesus because he humbles himself to share in our humanity. And the mixing of the water and the wine represents the divinity and the humanity of Christ. There was a man who lived in the second century, a saint by the name of Irenaeus, and he had such a sense of what it means to say that we share in the ascension of Jesus that he said, Jesus took on our humanity so that we would share in his divinity. The common goal that we have will be the fullness of heaven. Where we will end, so to speak, will be our eternal beginning. And in that reading from Ephesians that Frank did, St. Paul talks about it this way. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that he would help you to know the hope to which he has called you, our glorious inheritance, to be those who are saints. The ascension of the Lord announces that you and I have a solid and lasting hope. We have heaven as our goal. And I think one of the reasons why we, some of us at least, some of you might think that makes me crazy, sports actually, but for some of us, part of what it is, there's this idea about a goal. We want to have a goal, and we want to have something that we can commonly celebrate together. And the remarkable thing is that long before the NHL ever started, the Catholic Church has understood this, that our common goal is heaven itself. And the ascension of Jesus into heaven is so important for us. Now, for us as modern people, this is a little hard to understand because we know what it is to watch the space shuttle take off. And we might think, is that what the ascension was like? They were counting down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off? Like, what happened when Jesus left the atmosphere? Where was he floating around? But that's us thinking like people who live in a space age. Jesus lived in the context of the age of the prophets. And in the Old Testament, you have to understand it this way, that the victory of God would be understood when God is in the clouds. And that's what the ascension is all about. It's Jesus's victory parade. And then the remarkable thing is, of course, he didn't then continue into outer space and leave the atmosphere. He went into that other state of being, that other realm that's called heaven. And so for us, knowing our common goal, which is heaven, helps us to define our common purpose. And that is beautifully stated in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And here are the angels speaking. Oh yeah, that's another part about our Catholic faith. We believe in angels. And again, angels come from a different realm. Do you know that every angel was created at the creation of the universe? Every guardian angel, this is a remarkable thing to think of, was actually created before we ever came into being. And all of the angels, the countless billions of them, are in the worship of God. And here, some of the angels come to these guys in Galilee and say, "Why are you looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come the same way that you saw him to go into heaven." So here's the point. The church is not supposed to spend our time gazing into heaven. No, we have a mission. We have a purpose. We have a reason for being. And in that reading from Acts as well, Jesus tells us very clearly what our purpose is. And this is a great story. Okay, here are the apostles thinking, this is cool. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's about to go to heaven. Now he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. What does that mean? Well, everything about God's victory. Now, Jesus, are you going to make it happen? And here's the crazy thing. Jesus says, no, I'm not. You are. I'm going to give to you the responsibility. Your purpose is to restore my kingdom, to be my people. And of course, I will cooperate and I'll be working with you. But this is the work that you're called to do. And this is the beautiful thing about our faith. When we understand our goal and we come to see more clearly our common purpose, then we realize that the words I'm about to say are words for you and me. And these are the words that Jesus speaks to us. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later. Do you know that at the Feast of Pentecost, when it first happened, there were only 120 people in the upper room? At 10 a.m. this morning and at 1 p.m. this afternoon, there were, between those two masses, 1,000 people here. Now, I realize that not everyone who was at Mass, not everyone who is in the faith is like super committed. But the amazing thing is the truth of Jesus' words, that it started in Jerusalem, and here we are. I've been to Jerusalem. It takes about 12 hours to get from here to Jerusalem. And the gospel spread. Why? Because from the very beginning, the early church understood their purpose. They will receive power. Do you know what the word for power is in Greek? The language of the New Testament, it's the word dynamis. So we get the English word dynamite. You will receive dynamite. Oh my goodness, that could be dangerous. You don't want to give dynamite to me. I don't know what to do with that kind of stuff. But then he says, you will receive dynamite. you will receive this power, and you will be my witnesses. Oh, shoot. I like the dynamite, perhaps, but maybe not the witness, because you know what the Greek word for witness is? It's the word martyr. So you're going to be given a power, but the power I'm going to give you is going to allow you to be a martyr for me. And of course, that doesn't mean we're all going to die for Jesus. But you know, I think sometimes, I know if I'm speaking for myself, I want a church where we can just kind of maybe, so to speak, blow things up. Let's just get on with it. Let's make a real blast. That way people will really see, won't they? They'll notice us. Well, darn it, Jesus. You say the only way it's going to happen is if we're willing to also be witnesses. That is to share in your suffering. And of course, isn't that what we saw with the early church? 11 of the original apostles were literally martyred for their faith. Only St. John died as an old man, but it wasn't on a Club Med vacation. He was actually on an island called Patmos working in a stone quarry in his 80s. But here's the remarkable thing about our faith. It seems that when people take to heart the truth of the gospel, when people truly understand our goal, which is heaven, it brings us together as a team to see our common purpose. The common purpose of the church has always been to witness to Jesus, to proclaim to all nations the invitation to turn to God, to turn to the one who in his infinite mercy, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, wants to bring about his kingdom. But it's so hard, isn't it, in a world like this? This is such a hard place to live. There is just so much news that is so hard to stomach. And we can want to give up and say, why bother? But here's another point, and with this I'll bring my homily to a conclusion. That it's always been the way that there's the world and its news, and there's Jesus and the good news. And what happened to these earliest Christians was because they had come to see so clearly that the ascension really happened and that there is a king and there is a trophy that's more amazing, more beautiful than the Stanley Cup. And there is a victory which won't have you're the winning team and you're the losing team. We'll all be on the winning team. I believe this with all my heart to be the truth. And this is what the church declares today. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, because we have a clear sense of our goal, even though we have to kind of play it out in the life of this world that is so challenging, we are a hope-filled people as we live in this world. One of the things that people say to me when they come to St. Peter's, they say, you know, this is a positive, encouraging community. And I think in part, it's because we're learning to be mission-minded. Like a good hockey team, we're discovering our goal and therefore trying to more clearly define our purpose. And that's an ongoing work. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for making St. Peter's a team that is a joy to coach. And together, with heaven before us, we want to make a difference in this part of Calgary's Northwest. We want to witness to the power of God, that dynamite. But we're called to do it in a way that's humble, in a way that calls us to suffer, so that we can say, Jesus, allow for your kingdom to come, your will to be done here in this part of the earth as your will is done in heaven.